And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A tropical storm now. Helene isn't anywhere near its potential. Jamie Rome with the National Hurricane Center.
The story is what it will become as it moves into the eastern Gulf of Mexico and begins to approach the Florida Peninsula as a major hurricane on Thursday.
President Biden delivered a farewell address at the UN General Assembly today. Here's Weijia Jiang.
It's a real opportunity to remind the world of his accomplishments, because he wants to cement his legacy, especially with regard to foreign policy, which is something that he has taken great pride in.
He later spoke at the Global Coalition to address synthetic drug threats.
I'm calling on every nation here to commit to our new Global Coalition pledge. This lays out the action we must all take to seize more drugs, stop more cartels, save more lives.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Former President Donald Trump is coming back to the Badger State. He's set to hold a rally in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, the adopted hometown of Derek Van Orden, one of his biggest supporters in the House of Representatives. Van Orden is being challenged by Democrat Rebecca Cook in November. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is currently on a bus tour throughout Wisconsin. Today, they're in Appleton, Green Bay, and Beaver Dam. The last time Trump was in Wisconsin, it was in Wausau just about 2 weeks ago. And former Governor Tommy Thompson says he wants former President Donald Trump to campaign in the state's two bluest counties. He says Wisconsin is not a done deal for Kamala Harris and says Trump's team should come to Dane and Milwaukee counties, which he called, quote, the belly of the beast. In 2020, Joe Biden won 75% of the vote in Dane County and 69% of the vote in Milwaukee County. So it's yet to be seen whether the Trump team will take that advice. That's what you need to know. Now here's some news from closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, September 25th. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Advisory Committee will meet at 10 at the ADRCCW in Wausau. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will meet at 1:30 at the Huntington House Apartments. The Village of Port Edwards will hold a series of meetings at the Marshall Buehler Center. The Parks, Recreation, and Cemetery meeting will begin at 3:30, the Public Works Committee at 4, the Public Safety Committee at 4:30, and the Planning, Property, and Legislative Committee meeting at 5:30. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the LEC Training Room on Strong's Avenue. In Adams County, the Opioid Settlement Workgroup will meet at 9:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sport, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said they know all about Vikings running back Aaron Jones.
He's a problem. He is, and he looks really good. And I've been able to watch him a little bit. Certainly, he's one of my favorite players that I've ever had the privilege to coach, a guy like that, just in terms of how he goes about his business, and still got a lot of love for him.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have six games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for three games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next two Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, high mid-70s. High upper 70s, mostly sunny Thursday. For Friday and the upcoming weekend, it stays mild. Highs well into the 70s with more sun than clouds. It's 71 right now.
Midday Magazine. Talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first, the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller. And I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival. But you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from the Family Center. Got a lot of talk to talk about with them. Right now, our good friend, Promise Bakken, Marketing and Communications Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, is with us. Promise, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate the time and looking forward to diving into a bunch of great chamber events. Let's kick things off with some upcoming community events that are going on.
Sure. So today we have a drawing right around 1 o'clock-ish for our Chamber Cash calendar. The drawing is sponsored by Crockett Septic, and it's a $150 gift certificate that can be redeemable at any Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce member businesses. So watch our Facebook for that to see if you won today's drawing.
Yeah, this is a really fun thing you guys do that the community loves getting behind. A lot of great businesses are able to get in on. And certainly a shout out to Crockett Septic. That, you hear their names all over the place, whether it's at this station or in town here. They do a great job. So it's a fun one.
Yeah.
Where can people pick those up or find out more about those, I promise?
So purchasing tickets is no longer for sale since we are in full swing of the drawing calendar. Mm-hmm. So we have 4 days left for the calendar of drawings. Today is Crockett Septic for $150. Tomorrow is Nicolet Staffing sponsoring $100. On Thursday, Bow Wow Meow Boutique is sponsoring $50. And on Friday, our last drawing, Stowcore is sponsoring for $250.
Very cool. A big shout out to all of them. Very appreciated. Yeah. Rekindle the Spirit Parade, Promise. That is coming up.
Yeah, so the Rekindle the Spirit Parade is, we're starting to get ready for that. We're looking for parade entries and sponsorships. So if you're a business in town and you want to get your business company logo information out to a mass public, this is a great opportunity to do it. You can enter a vehicle in it and decorate it all Christmassy, and then also have your logo out there. So it's like brand awareness for the public community. The parade happens on November 27th, so right around Thanksgiving, and it's like a great way to get together with your family and in the community and, you know, kind of kick off the holiday season. So that one's on West Grand Avenue in West Wisconsin Rapids on November 27th, and it'll start at 5:45 p.m. And then afterwards, you can stop in at Hotel Mead for visits with Santa. And last year, we had quite a few people for the visits for Santa. You can stop in, get your picture taken, and have a really great family night with that.
First off, a shout out to the Chamber. Every year you land one of the toughest guests to get in getting Santa for those. I mean, nice job by you guys landing Santa every year on that one. That's always great for the kids. They love that, and it's a great way to wrap up one of our favorite days of the year, one of our favorite times of the year. We love this parade. Yeah. This parade is so popular, and it's one of the ones that we get to celebrate our community. We get to really come together as a community. Businesses that don't often get a chance to do things together sometimes, you know, see each other during the parade and everything. And here at WFHR, we've gotten to be a part of this before. We've gotten to broadcast down there during the parade. Okay. And we just love it. It's one of my favorite broadcasts I've ever done in my 20-some years in radio, was being down there and being able to broadcast during the parade and talk about it. It's also really, really noteworthy what you were talking about there, Promise, of an opportunity for you as a business to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a marketing budget. Everybody has an amount of money that they can spend on these kind of things. Right. Everybody's looking for more bang for their buck, or getting a bang for their buck, or getting their money's worth, or what have you. I can't think of many better opportunities for that when it comes to that than this parade. You also know that you're going to be seen by people that you may not always be seen by.
Right.
There's individuals that come out for this that may not be out for other events, or may not be in the neck of the woods that your business is in.
Right.
You may hear this as much as I do, where, oh, I didn't even know that was in town. I didn't even know this was a thing, or something like that.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, and it's nothing against you and your business. It's just about getting seen and being heard by the right by enough people.
Right.
This parade really can do that.
Yep. It's a parade that kind of targets a mass target market. So you got, you know, families, and then you have entrepreneurs and businesses alike. You know, they all attend this to, you know, get together with their families and start celebrating the holiday area. And going back to, you know, budget. You know, budget is very tricky when it comes to spending dollars in advertising, but this one's relatively inexpensive, in my opinion, and we have opened it up to non-members. So the non-member fee is $45, but if you are a member of the chamber, it's $35 for you to get in on this parade.
Yeah, and I don't mean to make light of any money. I work in radio. I know how much $20 is, and everything, but that's nothing. That's nothing in your marketing budget compared to the positive, the ceiling, you know, especially, you know, knowing a little bit about marketing and certainly working in sales and these things, we look at a lot of what is the ceiling, what is the floor on these. The floor, right there, it's right where you would expect it to be. You're not going to hurt your business by any means, but the ceiling, the opportunity you could have from this, especially for that price tag, you can't not sign up for it. We want to, and is there a limit of how many businesses and how many people can be a part of the parade, Promise, or anything? Is there first come, first serve sort of thing? Because we want every business in town to be a part of this.
Yes. So it is a first come, first serve, and we do have a max capacity. I did not bring that number with me today, but
good to know, though.
I will have to note that down for next time. You know, if the line gets too big and it starts piling up into backing up traffic, you know, we have to cut it off at a certain point. So, yeah.
It's just noteworthy to those businesses out there. Get on this soon. Get in there and get your parade getting started and start coming up with some really creative float ideas and parade ideas and everything. That's another really fun part of this. I've heard from a lot of people that have done the parade over the years. They come from a business maybe where they don't get to stretch their creative muscles all the time. You really get to with this parade. You really get to have some fun with this.
Yeah.
It's a fun one, and you can register and find out more by going to WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. Again, the Rekindle the Spirit Parade coming up Wednesday, November 27th, 5:45 to 7:30. We're already gearing up for being in downtown Wisconsin Rapids and picking out a spot and where we're going to be.
Awesome.
The Nakusa Holiday Parade and Fireworks, another huge event in this area we love and we look forward to. Shout out to our friends in Nakusa.
Yeah. So the Nakusa Holiday Parade and Fireworks is on December 7th this year. It starts at 5:15 p.m. in Nakusa. It kind of starts by the library over there, and then it goes down their main street and kind of curves and stuff. Last year, the streets were packed. The streets were packed with, you know, people getting ready for Christmas. And I saw a really great float there last year. I can't even remember what it was, but it was phenomenal. And it was the end float, and it was super lit up and beautiful. And I was just I felt like a little kid again.
It
was really pretty. The member fees, the fees for this one here is the same as the Rekindle one, $35 for members and $45 for non-members. And it's a great way to, you know, gain exposure in the Nakusa area. So even if you have a business in Wisconsin Rapids and you want more exposure out in that area, you can definitely get in on this parade as well.
It's such a great point. Whether any of these parades we're talking about, to those that are in another town or a neighboring town, this is maybe you've reached, you know, you feel like you've reached everybody in your neck of the woods, everybody in your zip code already. expand. Look ahead. Look to these towns right next door to you and everything, and see if you have even more people you could be reaching with your business. Mm-hmm. That's a great point to bring up. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the ways that I think that we support each other. When we talk about buying local, supporting local, we're certainly talking about the people in your town and your area. But that includes the stretch of the extension of that, too, in central Wisconsin in general.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. And again, the affordability of this has to be noted. It's a tip of the hat to the chamber and being smart and listening to the community and what is affordable to businesses and not, you know, having something too insane that they couldn't be able to do. So we get more people to be a part of this. But also the ability for you guys to be able to keep putting this on every year, having that balance there. That's fantastic.
I'm excited for the NACUSA one because I've been at the chamber for almost 3 years now, right around that area. And I've seen this one grow in the 3 years that I've been in there. There's been a lot of interest in getting into the NACUSA area and being a part of that community over there. And I guess one of the big things about this parade is that right afterwards, there's a huge fireworks show and everybody comes out to see that one. And it's super exciting. I mean, when can you see fireworks in December?
Yeah. It is a great idea. And it's a great way to wrap up the parade. I love how connected NACUSA is too. Mm-hmm. And this parade really gives you an example of that. It really shows that the community really comes together for it. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole state, NACUSA area. So it's going to be a fun parade. We're looking forward to it. It's coming up December 7th. Sponsorships are open, everybody. Reach out to Promise and the Gang and be a part of this parade. Be a part of all these parades. Get a part. And I don't know, especially if you come up with different parade ideas.
Yeah.
I want to use this one, but I like this one too. Use them both. If you're going to be a part of both parades, you can use both ideas.
Yep.
We're speaking with our friend Promise, from Marketing Communication Director from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, we have some upcoming network events for people as well.
So, we have actually two different networking events. One of those I'll mention a little bit more later, but in October on the 21st, we have our networking at night. That is from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and Hotel Mead is our host this time. So that's right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and it's on West Grand Avenue. And it's great for, getting together and networking with other professionals in the area, maybe kick back, have a cocktail, and, scheme up some ideas for, 2025.
One of my favorite things about creating is working with other creatives. Mm-hmm. And when you have the opportunity to get a bunch of like-minded people together, and especially if they're from a different end of the business spectrum or something like that, and you can kind of bounce ideas off of each other. And even at the sometimes it's just about hanging out. It's just as simple as just being able to be an adult around another adult and have an adult conversation. Sometimes that's nice, too. Wonderful venue as well, the Hotel Mead.
Oh, yeah.
We love the Hotel Mead and being able to have events over there. That's going to be a really good one.
Yeah. And I don't know how many stories I've heard where a great idea started on a bar napkin.
Yep.
So
You're right.
Yeah, that's the intention of these networking at nights is, provide a relaxed atmosphere where you can get together and have some adult time with colleagues outside of your business and your company and make those connections. Hotel Mead has also been doing some great things too over there, so we're really, really excited that they're hosting.
I was gonna say, whether it was on air or off air, that is a really cool place too because of that reason, with the kind of rejuvenation that they have over there going on and everything. Yeah. That's really cool. We have some upcoming workforce programs and events as well, and these are always so key for our community and the ability that they help and the bridge that they create between businesses and employees.
Yeah. So we have one upcoming workforce event. It's our Business Expo. This one is sponsored by U.S. Bank, Security Health Plan of Wisconsin, Samuels Group, Premier Rental, which used to be Steve's Rental, but now it's Premier's Rental now, at McCain's, Marshfield Clinic, the Wisconsin Rapid Center, and NRG Media. This one is a networking event as well. So it's on October 8th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids, and it's great for networking with other businesses and making connections. Between 2 and 4 p.m., it is only open to those who want to network with the businesses that have booths there. So in order to get in for that, during that time block, just bring your business card. And then afterwards, we're going to open it for the public, for anybody else that wants to come in and explore, the businesses in there. You never really know what somebody needs in their personal life. So that's why we wanted to make sure we, allowed enough time for businesses to network and have, the privacy of that, but then also switching gears and addressing, the public needs as well.
Is that different this year than in years past? Because that's a really cool idea. That's a really smart way to do this.
So this is the first business expo that I will be experiencing at the Chamber. So we're bringing it back this year. And we're a little smaller scale, a little bit more intimate, being at the Elks Lodge because, you know, their facility's smaller.
Yeah.
Bigger than the Chamber, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we're just going to kickstart it there and see how it goes. And then hopefully it grows and gets better, because I really love that businesses have the opportunity to get together and showcase their products or their services and, you know, talk to other businesses, you know, and really get in there and show them what they're all about.
So. You're hearing some common themes between Promise and I, too, where we're talking about communicating, we're talking about connecting, and businesses and employees, or businesses and businesses reaching out, and a lot of that. It's because it's so important in our economy, in our livelihood, in our, not just our workforce, but in our personal lives, to have these connections and to have these. It helps make all business better and our lives better. Mm-hmm. Having an event like this and bringing this back, I will put my name on it. I believe this is going to grow. This is going to be big. And I love the Elks Lodge, and a big shout out to them. I gather in the next couple of years that you're going to have to get a bigger place,
because
we look for these opportunities. We just don't have enough of them.
Right.
And I really love the idea, the kind of intimate way of doing it, too, where you have a little bit more of an opportunity to have those kind of connections and conversations.
Yep.
It's going to be a great one.
Yeah,
We got some other things we wanted to mention, like October's Member of the Month.
Yeah, so October's Member of the Month is Mission Coffee. I don't know if you've had their coffee yet.
I love Mission Coffee.
Oh my God.
Love Mission Coffee. Been going there since I was a teen. Yeah, I love that place.
Oh, their coffee is so good. Mm. It's a locally owned coffee house, and they actually have three locations. One in Stevens Point, one in Plover, and one here in Wisconsin Rapids, but that one's located inside of Mid-State Technical College. And they're, you know, they offer coffee, obviously, baked goods and lunch menu items. You know, just stop in and check them out, or visit their website at missioncoffeehouse.com.
The Point location is one that I believe their first location, oldest location. And I think that I'm not alone in some of the audience out there visiting there quite a few times over the years. Wonderful people and wonderful location. The idea of them having one inside MST. Fantastic idea. I hadn't heard about, I got to be honest, I had not heard about that.
Yeah.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I love the things that they're doing over there at Mid-State. Mm-hmm. Year after year, just seem to hear really creative and fun ideas and ways that they work with their communities. This is a really cool marriage of a great business and a local business and really a business built from the ground up and a local local tech school in Mid-State. That's great. That's good to hear. A shout out to them, and congratulations them being the October Business of the Month, Mission Coffee House. Go visit them, everybody. It's been too long since I've been there. They got such great coffee over there.
Well, we get their coffee every once in a while, because they'll sponsor our Coffee with the Chamber. So we get their coffee because they'll bring the coffee in. It's like, I always get excited when it's Mission Coffee time.
I got to imagine you guys get some really good coffee over there. Between that and I mean, you're right next to Quick Trip and everything.
Yeah.
You got it made when it comes to the coffee. We got to get in on that. I got to get a coffee sponsor around here or something. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't want to say signature events, but I think one of the bigger events that you guys are able to host, with all of the different ones that we've talked about today, Promise, we've talked a lot about businesses communicating with community members, and, you know, people finding about businesses, or businesses being able to come together and create ideas. Another thing that you guys do really well is, you know, getting information to the community, or giving the community opportunities to find information or ask questions, especially from our legislators. And that's where the legislative breakfast is so important, especially this time of year, a year like this where we're going into November elections and everything.
Yeah, so we have our legislative breakfast coming up on October 18th. Registration is now open. You can register online at wisconsinrapidschamber.com. For members, it's $35. And again, if you're not a member and you still would like to attend, the fee for that is $45. It comes with breakfast, and it's from 7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at Mid-State Technical College here in Wisconsin Rapids. So what we kind of do is we get together and we, you know, we have breakfast, but then we also hear from our local representatives on some prepared questions. So we take some questions and we, you know, what have we been hearing in the community that people might want to hear answers on? And we prepare those questions and we ask a set of panel, that, you know, those questions, and give each person a chance to respond. And, you know, it is, aired, we record it with
Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
And then we, you know, release that information later on. But if you want a chance to get in there and ask a question that's been, you know, burning your pocket, so to speak, or I don't even know if that's the right saying.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but you're just dying to know the answer.
That you've been really wanting to ask, and you want to be able to chance no middleman, just you and this representative, just you and these people either running for office or in office or something like that. We see that you guys have invited a lot of people. We don't know who is committed yet, I see, but you guys have invited basically anybody that you have seen in ads in the last month or two, you know, certainly our local representatives. I'm fortunate, to be able to once a month talk with Representative Scott Krug and Senator Teston. Oh. They join us on midday here once a month.
Oh, nice.
And I've talked to them on air and off air, and one of the more consistent things that they talk about, in order for them to do their job, they need you out there.
Right.
They need the people. They want to hear from people. We're very fortunate in this area.
Yeah.
And I'm just speaking about these couple of representatives that I talk to on a regular basis. They care. They really do. Whether we agree or disagree politically, I will never question their care and their energy for this area and wanting to take care of the constituents of this area.
Right.
The best way they can do that is by us speaking up and being adults. You know, not any dog can bark. I'm talking about being an adult and actually, you know, talking and having a real conversation with these individuals. You're able to do that.
Yeah.
So I almost guarantee that they'll be there. Senator Teston, Representative Krug. I know that they haven't committed yet, but I almost, if they can be, they will be there.
Yeah.
As far as all these other people that were invited, I send a extended invitation out there to every one of these individuals that this is your this is one of your big opportunities. There's not many coming up. This may be the last real opportunity before the November election for you to be one-on-one with your constituents.
Right.
Talk face-to-face with them. No middleman, no computer screen, any of that stuff. You're really able to do some real work here and really be able to make a difference, not just to these representatives, but to the people, the individuals, their constituents.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It is a truly, really cool thing that you guys do and that is hosting. And not just you guys, but so many individuals that come together and businesses that sponsor this. Do want to send a shout out to the moderator, Craig Tim, who does a great job every year on this one. And the registration and breakfast will begin at 7 a.m. Welcome and introductions will begin shortly after that, I see.
Yep. And then I would like to mention our sponsors as well, Mid-State Technical College, U.S. Bank, Findorf, and Domtar. And then one last note on this, it is registration is open, but it does close on October 11th. There is limited seating. We have made this, I believe we have the space bigger this year to accommodate for more seats. However, it is still limited.
Yeah.
So registration closes October 11th.
If people want to register or find out more about some of what we talked about today, how can they do that? We'll get you out of here real quick.
They can go to our website at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com or give us a call at 715-423-1830 or check out our event on Facebook.
The gang doesn't know it out there, but Promise did a great job today, focused in on and locked in. You pushed through, Promise. Nice work. Thanks for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Political parties are putting a lot of effort into the youth vote here in Wisconsin. Some analysts say young people alone could decide the election. Ever since Kamala Harris was named the nominee, there has been about a 20% jump in enthusiasm from Wisconsin voters age 18 to 29. That means social media may play a bigger role than ever. Hilario De Leon is chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Everyone's on it. We get our news from it. I have a TikTok account. I have my own social media platforms that I do. Any major, you know, corporation, company, sports team, political group, they all have social media.
Matthew Lehner is chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin.
Social media is one of the big reasons why Janet Protasiewicz did so well in the 2023 Supreme Court election. I think you're going to see that again in 2024.
14% of young Wisconsin voters are still undecided. That's more than double any other age group. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The final alarm ceremony will take place this Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. This solemn ceremony honors all firefighters that have given the ultimate sacrifice, both present and past. It will begin at 3:33 at the Firefighters Memorial. All are welcome to come honor fallen brothers and sisters in the fire service. The final alarm procession will begin promptly at 7 and follow through the streets of Wisconsin Rapids with red lights only. You can find a map of the procession on the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department Facebook page and hear the full interview with Tom Anderson on WFHR.com. Health officials are warning residents about an increased risk of rabies exposure as temperatures begin to cool down. As temps drop, animals like bats and skunks are more likely to start seeking shelter indoors. You should check to make sure potentially infected animals can't get inside. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Just because you've been part of a hit show for 10 years doesn't mean your spinoff is a slam dunk. Just ask Eric Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family. A one-off called Mitch and Cam, which would have featured Stone Street and co-star Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who was Cam's partner Mitchell Pritchard on Modern Family, was in development but ended up not getting the green light. What was his reaction when he heard the network passed? He said his feelings were hurt. Actors are people, too. Actress Demi Moore says she biked 60 miles a day after becoming a mom for the second time. After giving birth in 1991 to her daughter, Scout, Moore said she would bike 30 miles to the set of Indecent Proposal from Malibu and 30 miles home. I guess any excuse to get away from a crying baby. The actress admitted she felt pressure to drop weight, but also that at the time it was important to her to get back in shape as well, and there was no way she was giving up the lunch buffet at Golden Corral. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, high mid-70s. High upper 70s, mostly sunny Thursday. For Friday and the upcoming weekend, it stays mild. Highs well into the 70s with more sun than clouds. It's 69 degrees right now.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Albaugh. Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will be live from Los Angeles, California. That's right, Los Angeles, getting ready for the Badgers versus USC all the rest of this week. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. I have your host, James, here with you. And we're joined right now by our great friends from the Family Center. We have Executive Director Tricia Faulkner with us. Tricia, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Always appreciate the time. And I do like to journalistically mention to the audience, I am on the board of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. And just as important, I am also on the right side of history when it comes to our subjects we're going to be talking about today. I make no bones about that. And I don't... I know I'm not alone, and I bring this up actually as a way to kind of get into the conversation a little bit with you, but also because when I brought this up over the years, when I've interviewed members from the Family Center, I have heard more times than not, I would say 9 out of 10 interviews from the audience and hearing from people that I don't normally hear from that want to just add to the sentiment, I'm with you. And we're with you. Mm-hmm. And we're with the Family Center. This is more and more important as we go along, Tricia, in part because this subject and this fight is not ending, but also important because of the lack of funds that have been happening in recent time to the Family Center. We'll touch on that today and get into some other things as well. But I wonder if you don't mind if we can discuss this 40th anniversary first.
Yeah. So we are celebrating this year is our 40th anniversary. The Family Center, well, started 40 years ago in 84. And actually, as the Family Center got started in the St. Lawrence Catholic Church convent is where it got started. And there had been a couple women who attended that church. And the church was realizing that domestic abuse and sexual assault were a problem within our community. And when that convent had been sitting empty for quite some time, there was a group of women that came to the current priest and said, what if we use that convent to help victims of domestic or sexual violence? And that's really where the Family Center was birthed from. And we've just grown from there.
I going back to my first conversation with Sue and Deb, you know, I used to on-air, off-air joke with them. I wish you didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. I would love to see you. I'd love to be interviewing you still, but just in a whole different business or something like that. And same goes for you, certainly. It's an interesting situation to to, and I use the word celebrate in a different light maybe with this, because while we're very proud and very thankful, very, very thankful, very appreciative of 40 years of having a Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, of those early trailblazers. Of that. I'm so appreciative. I love history just in general, but local history all the more, and giving us an opportunity to be thankful to those individuals that got this going. At the same time, we do wish that we didn't even need this center, but we do. And thank God that we have it. We are thankful that we have it, and the people and the individuals that we do have doing this. And 40 years, like, this is, I'm a big believer in silver linings, and, and always find that you can always find the silver lining in any situation in life. And when I look at something like this, it's, you don't have to dig, you know, they're right there for you. And one of the positives is the idea of not just the person that has been in a situation like this. And statistically, we know that, it doesn't take many degrees of separation that somebody has experienced domestic violence, whether personally or know of an individual that has. But to the individuals out there in the community that have not, that small percentage, but that percentage of people, when they hear something like this, the pride that they take in the Family Center is just as wonderful as some of the individuals and some of the other stories that I've heard over the years and some of that. And I think it's noteworthy, too, that our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center stands out and is one of those ones that not every center, not every area has one that has been around for 40 years.
Right.
That's some pride in our roots, some pride in this area that we can take as well. So I think that there's a lot to celebrate in this regard, while also doing this with a heavy heart and understanding that there is not only work that has to be done, but people that need us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because when we started, we had one full-time employee and one part-time employee back in 84 when the Family Center started. And unfortunately, the need has continued to grow. And it is right that you're absolutely correct. There's so much to celebrate that our community is so thankful and blessed to have this organization and to be able to provide services to victims in our area. But at the same time, all of the community members that have made this happen, and that's really, you know, really what we want to celebrate is our community has done this for 40 years and have assisted us to have these services. And we have grown from one full-time employee and one part-time employee to 15 full-time employees and 7 part-time employees. And we've grown from, you know, in the beginning when the Family Center opened in 84, they had the shelter and there was 5 bedrooms within the shelter. And they also had our visitation safe exchange program. But the number of programs that we have grown for not only people seeking shelter, but people seeking outreach services. And now we have support groups and we have legal advocacy and we have housing advocacy, children programming, and all of the different things that as we became experts in the field, we were able to notice, hey, here's a gap that our community really needs us to fill. And because of community support, whether it be volunteering, donating, we were able to step into those gaps and have been able to continue doing so for 40 years.
And with that longevity and being around long enough, you're able to collect data, you're able to get more and more information and figure out ways to help this issue, help people in this issue, and learn more about why this happens in some of those and how we can prevent it from happening in the future. So many layers to this topic that I don't think were things that we saw early on. And I think it's important to note, too, that that year you mentioned, 84, and when this was, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
You know, and for, so there was a lot of decades, a lot of years before that where we didn't have a family center around and didn't have something for this. So while it is a heavy heart that we do this and we celebrate 40 years, it's really important, I think, to keep in mind, too, that the work that was done to get to this point and how how it could be otherwise. It doesn't take a huge imagination to imagine, you know, what our community would be like if we didn't have a family center. Yeah. And that immediately hopefully shook some people up and like, oh, yeah, that we are very thankful for what we have. And we don't do the trailblazers, the people in the past that went through everything they did. We do them no service if we don't appreciate what we have now. So it's great. It really is 40 years, something very much we can hang our hat on, be proud of in this community.
Yeah.
And especially as we're getting into this upcoming annual appeal, it's a great time of year to remind people of the work that's being done and has done and needs to be done by the Family Center.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have our annual kind of newsletter going out and updating the community. And it's going to be a fun one, celebrating our 40 years, right? And talking about the history and some of the details, how we've grown over the years, and really how you can, how our community can continue to support and how vital it is for our community to continue to support. Because like you said, you know, if we didn't have a family center, and that's terrifying to me. And it should be to our community because we're sheltering, you know, 65 plus individuals a year. And that's just in shelter. That doesn't include the outreach services, which are thousands of outreach services a year. And so where would our community members who are facing violence, where would they go if the Family Center wasn't here? And that's a scary thought.
Yeah. With this annual appeal, I do want to come back to a point that I and Melissa Kay, our head of news, her and I have been really making sure that it is not forgotten on the audience, the lack of funds and the cuts that have been made to domestic violence shelters around the country, and especially ours here in Wisconsin Rapids, and how we've always needed to help our family center and have your back. You guys have ours. It's our opportunity to have yours. Mm-hmm. But it has maybe never been more vital to be a part of this any way you can. Sometimes it involves dollars and cents. Sometimes it involves volunteering. But it involves all of us.
Yeah.
And all of us coming together on this one. I also think that there's an opportunity here, too, where in a divisive year and divisive things is how they can be. And we're seeing more and more of the country going the opposite direction and wanting to come together and everything. And here's another opportunity for us to come together on a topic where most life is gray. Most of life is pretty darn gray. Yeah. Here's a black and white topic for you, everybody. Mm-hmm. And here's one that we can all be on the right side of history with. And we see so much of society going that direction and being that way. And this community is certainly a part of that. So when we talk about this annual appeal and talk about the lack of funds and all these things, it all comes together to any way you can helping the Family Center continue to do the work that they are doing over there. And also reminding the Family Center and the people that work over there, you are not alone in this battle. Mm-hmm. We may not have a Family Center shirt, or we may not be an employee, but we are a part of the team with you. We are a part of the right side of history with you on this topic. So that's another part of this appeal that I think stands out too, is being able to let the Family Center, the community, know where you stand. And I specifically talk to businesses and reach out to businesses out there about this. I do this on the air, but I do it when I have a chance in person as well. When we talk about different ways to promote your business or support your business, one of the first things any marketing executive will tell you, attach yourself to a nonprofit. Be a part of a nonprofit or something. We got nothing but great nonprofits in our community. And one of the greatest ones is our Family Center, doing some of the most vital work in our community. So if I can't reach your heart, maybe I can reach your business side of things. Mm-hmm. This is an amazing opportunity for you to not only be a part of the right side of history, but also to be helping your local nonprofit, doing the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. This is the time right now, everybody, to be a part of things and to help out our Family Center.
Yeah, absolutely. And not, our team members, all of the staff that work at the Family Center and pour their heart and soul into the services that they give, because we see and through others every day the need for these services and the heartbreaking stories that come through. All of the different people that we serve, from 75 years old to infants, who unfortunately have experienced these things in our lives. And for the community to stand up and not only say they stand behind the Family Center and our staff, but they stand with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and the impact that can have for the clients that we serve when we have donations coming in, whether it's monetary or if you see that we need paper towel or something like that, clients see and experience a community that cares for them too. And so it's impacting staff, it's impacting the organization, and it's impacting our clients. And we can't do it alone. We can't do it without our community standing behind us.
Speaking with Trisha Faulkner, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and to really bring this home, I think a lot of us statistics often do that, information often do that. Do you have any that you want to touch on as far as the conversation we're having here and kind of add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, looking at 2023 and recapping kind of what 2023 looked like, we sheltered over 65 individuals. 35 of those individuals were children. We now have 7 rooms, so we have 7 rooms available to house, and each of those rooms has their own bathroom, can house multiple, individual with children or multiple children. And then one of the biggest things that stands out to me for 2023 is our crisis line. So we have a 24/7 crisis line, and in 2023, we served over 359 calls come into the crisis line, which was significantly increased from the year before. And looking at our current numbers year to date, we are on track to double that on the crisis line this year. So those needs in our community continue to grow, and people are in a place of crisis. People are in a state of need right now through many different ways, all the pressures that people have on them and things like that. And so that is ending in crisis calls. And we're looking at, serving over 600 in crisis calls for this year. And those are numbers that just stick out to me and are impacting all of our staff who are taking these crisis calls and coming at a time so busier in those senses, but coming at a time with less funding, coming at a time with less support from state and federal grants and things like that. And that's again why our community standing with us is one of the most important things that we can ask for.
I know I've heard some of them, and you've done a great job. You're really good at this stuff. When it comes to being interviewed about the cuts that have been made in recent months, I've seen you interviewed about them, and I know other domestic violence shelters have been. Have you had a lot of people reach out when it comes to some of the stats that you've just told us? And ask about those individual stats, because I feel like that stuff that should be common knowledge that isn't, and not enough people are talking about some of these things. I feel like during the pandemic and right after the pandemic, there was a heightened alert, a notice on this one, and then it kind of faded, as this happens with this subject matter oftentimes in our pop culture and our society and everything. But it feels like those numbers should be common knowledge, and the idea of it rising even a tiny bit, let alone as much as it has, is got to be noteworthy to our community. And something that a reminder to people out there that, for one, you are not alone in this, and two, this is a subject that we cannot take our foot off the gas on. We need all hands on deck when it comes to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, coming into October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month is one of the perfect times that we are pretty vocal about stats, whether that be on our website, our Facebook page, or we do have a event coming up in October for Domestic Violence Awareness. And so, any of those ways to really see the impact that this is having on our community and the needs of our community, those are great ways to stay up to date on those things and to encourage you to have conversations with those you know. One in four people have been affected by domestic violence in their lives. And so, if you're sitting in your office today and there's five people in your office, one of them has been affected by domestic violence. And so having a coworker or whoever it is, friend, family member who is up to date and involved in this fight against domestic violence can be so meaningful and impactful for that person. All of us really know somebody, whether we know or not. We do know somebody, and we come in contact and brush shoulders with somebody who has experienced this. So, some of the ways to educate yourself would be our website, our Facebook page, and getting involved in our events. We talk about statistics, we talk about numbers and things like that in our events as well. And then the volunteering. We have a great need for volunteers. We actually have direct service volunteer needs right now, where we have volunteers who are coming in during certain times of the week and answering the crisis line and being that kind of triage point and then getting them to a staff member. Volunteers who work in donations, lots of different opportunities to become involved. And I think the community knowing the numbers and the community seeing that impact, I feel like we're a small community. We're a large community, but we're a small community. and, when you look at those numbers for the number of residents in this community, that's significant.
And it's even more significant when we think of how these individuals are this is something we can do something about. This is something that there are often times in life we're hearing this problem, this issue. And it tends to be things that seem so big that we can't do. Oh, how could I ever solve that? How can I fix the debt? How can I fix the climate? Some of these things. Here's something where if every zip code works on this, every neighborhood works on this, we can put a dent in this topic. We can bring these numbers down. We can show these individuals out there that they are not alone. Just in this 20-some minute conversation, we've already touched on a number of things. We haven't even scratched the surface of the amount of layers to this topic and ways that we need your help and assistance in getting to this and really doing some good work on this topic in this front. And we're so proud of the Family Center and the work that you guys do over there and the many different ways that you cover this and help on this topic in this front. And there are ways that we can help as a community, as individuals, whether it is through the appeals and dollars and cents or volunteering and helping with daily needs. There are certainly things over there that are always, that could be used. Are there anything at top of mind, as long as we have you with us here today, that the community can help out with as far as needs around the house, if you will?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I tell people all the time when they ask that question, like, well, what do you need the most? Think of having your home having 20 plus people in it at a time. What would you go through the most? And some of those are paper towel, toilet paper, cleaning products, laundry detergent, food. You know, we do have a pantry, so we feed all of the clients up in shelter. We have a pantry available for outreach clients as well, so non-perishable food items. We do have a freezer, a couple freezers and fridge, so even some of, like, meats and things like that are always greatly, greatly appreciated. But trash bags, you know, how much garbage does a family of four make? And then you add, you know, there's 20-some people living in this area. That's a lot, you know? Yeah, a lot of garbage bags, a lot of toilet paper in a day.
Go through a lot. So anytime, there is, every action is a big action. Well, whether, again, dollars and cents or being able to, you know, drop off items and donated items, those are all greatly appreciated. And even with all of that, there is always your time. Your time is invaluable to us and so appreciated. So volunteering with the Family Center is another great way of impacting your community and helping out. I encourage you to reach out to the staff over there and find out ways you can do that. And if people do have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can reach out. They can message us on our Facebook page. On our website there, you have the ability to message there, or you can give us a call. Give us a call. You can ask for me. You can ask for Amy, who handles some of our communications, and we would be happy to chat with you and answer any questions that you may have, or get you involved in whatever might work best for you.
That website is familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Be sure to bookmark that. It has all the information you could want and need, and certainly in case you need it. And be sure to follow the Family Center on Facebook. It's not only a great thing to have pop up in your timeline and everything, but it's a great way for you to be able to share events and different things going on over there. You just never know who might see them that wouldn't otherwise. So another way you can help support the Family Center and the work that they're doing over there. And that phone number, business line, is 715-421-1559, 421-1559. Otherwise, their 24-hour crisis line is 715-421-1511. That's 421-1511. Again, Tricia, thank you so much for the time and everything you and the team over there do for the community. We appreciate you. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
Well, a little more Midday Magazine for you. Coming up on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lebanese officials say the number of people displaced by Israel's bombings could reach nearly 500,000. Israel says it took out a top Hezbollah leader today, the BBC's Daniel DeSimone.
They say they killed Ibrahim Kabisi, who they describe as head of the rockets and missiles division of Hezbollah. They say he'd been involved in Hezbollah since the 1980s and was a senior member of the group.
Tropical storm Helene could become a major hurricane by Thursday in Gulf County, Florida. They're taking no chances.
Yeah, preparing for the flood is really priority number one.
The region is already saturated. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the Justice Department has filed suit against Visa, alleging it maintains a monopoly over debit cards.
Visa's unlawful conduct affects not just the price of one thing, but the price of nearly everything.
On Wall Street, the Dow finished 83 points higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on Locally Grown Radio.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Former President Donald Trump is coming back to the Badger State. He's set to hold a rally in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, the adopted hometown of Derek Van Orden, one of his biggest supporters in the House of Representatives. Van Orden is being challenged by Democrat Rebecca Cook in November. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is currently on a bus tour throughout Wisconsin. Today, they're in Appleton, Green Bay, and Beaver Dam. The last time Trump was in Wisconsin, it was in Wausau just about 2 weeks ago. And former Governor Tommy Thompson says he wants former President Donald Trump to campaign in the state's two bluest counties. He says Wisconsin is not a done deal for Kamala Harris and says Trump's team should come to Dane and Milwaukee counties, which he called, quote, the belly of the beast. In 2020, Joe Biden won 75% of the vote in Dane County and 69% of the vote in Milwaukee County. So it's yet to be seen whether the Trump team will take that advice. That's what you need to know. Now here's some news from closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, September 25th. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Advisory Committee will meet at 10 at the ADRC CW in